Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 564. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
What's going on, man? How are you during our quarantine in our new normal, Kevin? You have to say it with a very
straight
voice right before I start trying to sell you insurance, pizza, or a car. So.
I am so glad that so many pizza services are touchless after they put our pizza in the oven.
Oh my god, I never even thought of that.
I
just figured, all right, it's touchless pizza delivery. Okay.
Yep.
Isn't it pretty much always that? Like, what are they using drones? I'll take that right now. I'm going to say it. If my pizza gets delivered by a drone, I will only order from that company from now on. It's awesome. Your pizza's going to taste like shit, by the way. But
yeah, I would imagine that is not going to work out too well as far as keeping the toppings in place.
I'm just, all right. Well, so much for the non-random stuff, huh? But just imagine, like, all right, so everyone just complains, like, the drone is a really cool idea, man. Really awesome. It's cutting edge, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, someone's going to complain. It's like, yeah, but it doesn't taste fresh. And it's impossible to get a flying convection oven, right? Or conventional oven if you want as well.
Right.
Somebody's got to come up with a miniature flying oven. Oh my god. I meant a warmer, but how badass would that be? Little miniature ovens that would fly around? So your pizza's actually cooking while it's coming to you?
I guess the drone drops
it off on the front, and you get an absolutely fresh pizza in the amount of time it takes that drone to deliver your food to you. Yeah. Right?
Why not just get a take-and-bake pizza then and cook it?
Because you don't have to go anywhere. You order the pizza online. It comes to you. You don't have to do a take-and-bake. I mean, that bullshit. It comes directly to your door. Literally, it can drop it right on your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I suppose.
I bet you right now, I bet you you're wishing, you're going, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that for...
You shouldn't have let out the big secret. I mean,
Wow. We
could have gone on to Shark Tank. Stunt Granny would have been a flying pizza company.
Well, with our listenership, we still can. So I think our idea is safe. But that's a really good idea. You could do that for a whole bunch of foods. Flying walks, get Chinese food delivered fresh. I know.
I guess that's the part that
I'm coming to play.
That's the part that was kind of interesting to me. I guess, does it start being made at the store and then they put it in? How many of those drones would you need to have, though? And what would be the wait time?
Movie? They're all over the place. Well, drone technology is still pretty, you know, I know we got them, whatever else, but they're more like toys right now, except for the military. But I'm just thinking, you put all that you. All right, someone obviously makes the dough, okay, duh, and then they put all the stuff on there. So if you want green peppers, onions, sausage, whatever, put it all on there, and as soon as it's time, then you know, put it all in a small oven, and off you go. So that while it's in the air, it's actually baking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It would need to have some type of a warming mode, I would imagine, should it take longer to get there than it takes to bake. But
I agree with you. I'm with you on that. But if you can time it out. You know what I mean? Now, if it's only a 5-minute thing, then obviously you're going to have to come up with something. But if it's 5 bites, that's not so bad. But
I guess I was thinking that you could set it up so that the drone does not leave the location until it's ready. You know, if the trip is shorter, you know, it stays in the store and doesn't fly out of the escape hatch until it's, you know, there's 5 minutes left in the cooking, so it finally takes off. You could set up some type of a device like that, I would imagine.
That's a good idea. Yes. Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. That's a good idea, dude. I don't know how people would, like, feel about... I mean, I know Amazon was trying to, like, deliver stuff with their drones and all that. So, why not pizza? I mean, someone had to have had this idea.
Well, yeah. I mean, the idea has definitely been out there. I guess I do just wonder how much lift you would need for a device like that. Just, you know, from a practical sense, like, it would definitely need to be more powerful than, at least lift-wise, than any drone that we use. Because even the military ones, I don't think, well, I mean, the missile drones, I think, are a whole different thing than the drones that I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of mostly the four-rotor... You know, I'm thinking the four-rotor ones. I'm guessing the drones that drop bombs are a little more complex. Like, you need to have... To be able to carry even a small oven... Like, because I guess I'm just thinking of, like, our toaster oven, basically, attached to a chassis. That would take a decent chunk of lift. Like, it's not that heavy, but it would still take some doing. And it'd need to be a little bit bigger than a toaster oven to fit a pizza in. But I'd also think that you could slimline it a little bit better to cook the pizzas.
But I'm also thinking if you're going to create this device, you're going to get everything hopefully right. So all of this would have to be taken into consideration. And I started laughing earlier at like the missile ones for the military. So I started thinking... I don't know how this happened, but just have those, like, military drones come. It comes over, and, like, a conveyor belt goes in it, and it just parachutes your pizza down. Or it just literally shoots that pizza at the house and has some device, like, device that will just slow it down before it gets in. Like a parachute. Good job. Anyways.
That would be pretty badass, too, if it came at you, I'm trying to think of what that old game is where you needed to shoot a cannon and up over a hill most of the time to your opponent.
It was Worms. It was Worms.
Oh, okay, yeah. That'd be fun to, you know, I would imagine you could do something like that. You'd have to calculate the trajectory, have a nice little parabola, and have it parachute out at the perfect time.
And then everyone have to vie for airspace, like Papa John's and Domino's are in this quadrant. Well, no one orders pizza because that's garbage. But I'm trying to think what other pizza joints are out there. We usually don't. Hungry Howie's. I don't know if they have that there.
Yeah, I've heard of the Hungry Howie's. I'm always unsure of what the range of Donato's pizza is, since it is one of. I believe it's considered a national chain, but I still don't think it's everywhere, necessarily. But that's out of Columbus here. It was really confusing, you know. I forgot. Just recently, I did look up, like, national pizza chains, and it was kind of interesting that a lot of them are, like... They have, like, five states that they cover or something like that. And there aren't a whole lot of, like, truly, like, 10-state brands. Like, there's a Marco's brand that we like, but I think that it's only, like, here, Michigan, and, like, Illinois or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a Marco's pizza down here. It is not the same as the one up north.
Oh.
Which I find very weird. I think that's so weird. And like, it's like a chain down here. Or a southern chain, whatever. Because I ordered it one time and I went, this isn't the same thing. It was very strange. I never ordered it again. So,
That's hilarious that I pulled that one out of my butt because there's this it was called Cousin Vinny's that was near the condo that we used to get on a fairly regular basis. But their only location was near the condo, so we're not ordering that here. Half a city away, basically. We found other pizza joints. But I do believe that Cousin Vinny's is another one where I know that they have locations in a couple of states, but I wouldn't say that they're truly national like Papa John's or, you know, even as terrible as Pizza Hut is, Pizza Hut. Of course, I don't know the last time I had a Domino's pizza either. Like, maybe when they came out with the, our pizza sucked for years and we decided to come up with a new pizza campaign. I think I had one around that time frame, but that's another one that was probably like early 2000s. And I don't think I've had a Domino's pizza since then.
That and Hungry Howie's are our go-to for national chains. But even then, like, Domino's actually got way better. You know, I mean, cool. It's like, do you want to eat soil or sand? But it got better. But lately, it's just been going right back to the same garbage. So that's one of the bad things about living in Charlotte. The pizza game here is trash. It's not good.
You're
spending a ton.
Oh, see, yeah, we don't have that problem here. I remember when I moved down here in 99, it was highest number of pizza joints per person in the country was Columbus. And I'm not surprised if it's still up there as far as rankings go, because I just don't even think about buying a national pizza. It all. We like this. And it's not even like I'm going to some weird, because there are some really like unique pizza joints. Like there's this one place called Pauly Gee's that's really good, but they do like these classic Italian style wood fire oven pizzas.
Those are always good, yeah.
And there's another one, Natalie's Pizza, that does coal fired pizzas. So, like, those are a little more expensive. I'm just talking about, like, if I'm going to get just, like, a pepperoni pizza, that there are a couple of places just even around here. Gahanna Pizza Plus is one of our new favorites, honestly. Because the Donato's, we just feel like there's too much pepperoni on there. It gets too salty if there's too much pepperoni, in my opinion. So, yeah, really, I do want some just cheese on some areas. And, Columbus has just a lot of pizza joints. So, like, I might still need to pick up. Oh, my God. Me, Mark Callis, and Paul E. Dangerously are currently on my TV.
Yep.
And
was it after Dan Spivey was gone? Because they brought him in to replace Sid, if I remember right.
Yeah, this what was it? It's the 1990 Great American Bash.
Okay.
is what I have on.
How did you get on the 1990 Great American Bash?
Huh?
How did you get on that? Seriously.
Like, it was one of those, you know, Chris and I were kind of talking about doing some type of retro review. And this was one, I know that from like 89 to 91, I want to say, I have a lot of pay-per-view, or at least used to have a lot of pay-per-views on video cassette. That I never got converted to DVDs or anything like that. And it was one of those time periods that I definitely remember I was watching then and I kind of wanted to rewatch. Him and I had actually settled on just going back and maybe watching all the old WWF pay-per-views, like starting with WrestleMania. Like, it'd obviously be easy to go through years, but just to kind of start going through some of the major, like, at some point it would get a little crazy, I would imagine. But that was kind of the idea we had settled on. But I had also discussed, like, rewatching some of these ones that I have on videotape, because I think it'd be fun. And yeah, so that's one of the reasons of why I settled on this one. I was like, oh, I saw Sting with the American flag face paint on the opening box for it. I'm like, yeah, because I was thinking that this was, and I might be wrong, that this was the RoboCop one.
No, was that Capital Carnage?
No.
Was it that RoboCop?
Was that, okay, was he in Capital Carnage?
I think so.
I do remember that it took...
The main event is...
I do remember it took place in D.C., I believe.
Yes. Well, that's why it's called Capital Carnage, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. This is Sting taking on Ric Flair for the NWA Heavyweight Championship. Okay. So I think this is Sting's initial win to become champion.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes. With the most awkward, like, nothing win. It's just a small package roll-up. You're like, that's the big crowning moment? Like, huh?
Oh, I've already...
I thought it was a very weird passing of the torch.
Yeah, I thought it was... weird then. I didn't really have the inside information, but I've already been laughing at how many heels are just terrible losers already. I love how these guys talk about having integrity and how they used to do things the man's way, but Dutch Mantel lost his match against Doug Furness, and he kicked out about 0.2 seconds after the third fall. And someone else did this.
Oh, wow.
Another heel did the same thing. I'm just like, oh, you guys are not taking this well. So, yeah, you're real men. You knew how to do the job. Fuck you. You're
yeah,
a fucking petty baby, motherfucker. Don't be telling me how you're a fucking stand-up guy. Piss off.
Like the 90s, early 90s, late 80s, that was a totally different, I mean, I know you say it's for everything, it was like a totally different time for that. And if you didn't want to put someone over, yeah, you'd put them over, but you wouldn't make it that great. And kicking out right after the pinfall is always a bad look. So.
Yeah, well, and I love how it's happening like super early in the card too, like, because I think it happened the opening match and then... the Mantel Furness match was like third on the card.
What a terrible match. Doug Furness and Dutch Mantel? Like, what? Yeah. I mean, it's obvious, like, I was never a big fan of either one, but Dutch Mantel was always a weird one to me because he always looked like he was 78 years old. I guess it was the look in it. So I never took him like as a serious threat whatsoever. They used to be beating this old guy's ass all the time.
Yeah, well,
he's
plus...
he's 7 years old then, but...
There are some guys that you're just like, oh, I could understand where their power came from. I was just looking at Dutch again. He doesn't even have, like, an 80s workout bod. It's like, he does nothing, you know, like, he didn't go to the gym. He just showed up at the wrestling ring, and that was his workout for the day. And I was never going to forget him because, you know, and he was the only guy that kept his back hair. And not only did he have back hair, I mean, holy smokes. That level of back hair is, like, that makes my dad's back
yes.
hair look thin. What Dutch Mantel has. Holy smokes, man. That, I mean, that really is a rug that he has on his back. And if he shaved it in the meantime and let it grow back, it's probably even thicker. Like, it's probably shag carpet at this point, if he ever shaved it.
Yeah, well. I guess that's one of the beauties about being in wrestling. You don't have to worry about it. Like, being gross is okay. Especially because he was called Dirty. He was Dirty Dutch Mantel, for God's sake. So, you know, it's fitting.
Yeah. Yeah, but there is no...
If you're going for the baby face look, that's a bad look.
Yeah, I think between the back hair and just the fact that he kind of looked like a real-life Yosemite Sam.
Yes. Yep.
It was,
which is what every babyface would say as well, which I always thought was funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, what else are you going to say? Like, it is kind of funny that there isn't... You don't have the TV time to have the character development, through vignettes yet at this point. So they still did get a personality across, but they had to do it in a match.
Yeah. And that's, all right, that's really funny you say it that way, because think about what you just said. They didn't have the TV time to get over personalities. And right now, there is a historic amount of time for wrestling, and no one's personality is getting over. Or almost nobody's, I should say. I mean, that's, hyperbole, whatever.
There is a little bit in there, but I'll tell you what, like, you and I kind of discussed it Wednesday night a little bit. Like, you were kind of talking about your viewing order, and
yeah,
I really felt like this week, AEW... they are adjusting to not having as much in-ring action. Like, I made fun of them the first couple of weeks because they had, like, a battle royal and, like, a 12-man match. And, like, I was like, oh, my God, what are you fucking people doing? But, like, they were doing, honest to God, like, character, like you're talking about, they were doing real character development stuff to me, at least this week.
Yep.
With a lot of the the promos, because Darby Allin got a whole skit by himself, and then because he was taking on Sammy Guevara, who got his own thing on top of being in the I was about ready to call it the Funky Bunch, the Bubbly Bunch.
Bubbly Bunch, such a great name. Okay, real quick, I don't want to sidetrack yet, but all right, so Jericho's always talking about how the Inner Circle doesn't have issues, doesn't have this, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
So Sammy Guevara does whatever dumb rock dance he's doing. Did you notice Jericho got mad and got jealous?
And hung
so
up
I'm
on
thinking,
him.
I'm thinking, how dumb is this going to be if this is where the Inner Circle... like, finally shows, like, their first crack. And maybe I'm just reading too much into it. But, like, their first sign of dissent is old man Jericho getting mad that the youngest guy's the coolest one.
Oh. Yeah.
Or does the coolest stuff, whatever.
It would be... I'd be cool with that storyline. B, I hope that it doesn't happen, all that soon. Because I do think that there's more mileage to be had with... and why did I... You just said the name of the faction, and I... the Inner Circle. Like, I feel like they still have more story to be told as a faction before they break them apart, but... Yeah, like, Jericho is kind of there to put over people like Guevara, I would think. So I would hope that pops up in the long run.
Yeah, and have you noticed the subtle Vanguard 1 versus the Roomba overtones they keep making? every single time Jericho's got that damn Roomba or Zumba or that.
Yeah, Roomba.
That's what they're called.
Yeah. I must have missed the Roomba last week. But I definitely, it was a very significant part of this week.
Yes. That and the Chihuahua. The Roomba and the Chihuahua were very, very noticeable, highlighted part.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out
which is the dumbest thing to say about wrestling, by the way. So, really think about it, that's just stupid. But whatever.
I was wondering why the Chihuahua is not in the Bubbly Bunch opener and closer. Since they're...
No one ever noticed that.
Yeah, there's the Chocolate Lab, and I forget what the other dog is. I do think that Jericho has more than two dogs, and he just picked two of them.
Remember the Unleash the Hounds? There's six of them, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, how do you... All right. You saw all of AEW, so you saw the Matt Hardy stuff, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? Because that's the first time he's done that, where he's broken Matt, and then all of a sudden, he busts into real Matt Hardy.
I think that that's a smart move. Like, because a lot of people, and I think I was at least partially among them, that the broken gimmick needed something new to it. To add another layer. And he was hard to he was so hard to interact with as broken Matt Hardy that I think it'll work to have him have regular Matt Hardy be able to pop up from time to time to field interviews, be serious about a match instead of just spouting off, trying to spout off some ridiculous bullshit all the time. We'll see where it goes, but I like the idea.
Yeah, it was funny. It's the same guy, right? It's Matt Hardy. He just broke Matt Hardy or Damascus. But I know Jeff is the most more popular one, and supposedly in the ring he's more talented, which I almost said heartily, by the way. I will vehemently disagree with. I think Matt's, and they're always going to be compared this way, I think Matt's probably the better of the two. The better of the two brothers. But Jeff is just more flamboyant, I guess. Like, naturally charismatic or flamboyant, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
To where Matt's got to work harder for it. But, man, I was shocked when he, switched characters like that. And just all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I'm totally buying this. This is kind of fun. So, I hope they keep it around. It's cool.
Yeah.
But... we'll see.
Yeah, but those were definitely two of those things that, to like, that was one of the bigger things to me that stood out to me this week, just in wrestling in general, because Chris and I had kind of talked about it a little bit on Tuesday this week, but more the week before, where, like, the WWE is formatting their shows like nothing is different.
When did you guys record? I didn't see. I'm curious about this because I disagree with that after watching NXT.
NXT has always been a little bit different, and I didn't pull up that review, which I should have. Honestly,
well, no, because they NXT's been doing different backstage stuff, and the whole Tommaso. Doing his interview and then getting attacked by Caden Cross.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that was...
I know they changed names, but that's just, I don't like that one. Whatever.
Yeah, I guess I'm not surprised that they're not allowed to say killer.
Yeah. Oh. What was, and I guess that's a difference in companies. What is, Pac and... the Lucha Bros are the Death Triangle, and I was like, Ben ain't never going to pass on WWE, that's for sure. But I'm like, that's a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
Star sounds better than Caden Cross. Like, why are you giving him a real person's name? I mean, it's like a millennial name, but whatever. And then, make sure I unplugged the right... Okay. And then, like, Scarlett, they just kept her as Scarlett. I guess they're not going to call her Scarlett Boudreaux, which is fine. But it is nice that they're keeping them together because they're better packaged together than separate. But what I was getting is you had that, which doesn't really happen anymore. Then you had the whole Robert Stone brand with Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
And then it reminded me, NXT used to do stuff like, because remember they had the EC3 and Velveteen Dream, the summit?
Yeah.
Which was just at EC3's pool in his apartment. They used to do stuff like that. And then they just, for whatever reason, got away from it.
Yeah.
It works.
I guess maybe that's why. Well, okay, then I will revise to say at least Raw and SmackDown are treating things like, business as usual. Even if Vince McMahon said that there will be more cinematic-style matches moving forward at his quarterly review or whatever just happened.
We'll get to that motherfucker in a little bit.
On the main shows, they haven't done that much, and I guess I wanted to get back, like, maybe it's just because it's a little bit, like, maybe I just don't have faith in Robert Stone, or where they're going with him for whatever reason, but I guess that's why I kind of forgot about that segment. But it is a segment that they need to be doing. Like, because that almost felt like an introduction. And I guess maybe that's more my problem, is that kind of felt like a skit that should have happened before she's wrestled, like, half a dozen times on TV.
Okay. Here's a thought on that. I agree with you. That's how she should have been introduced, right?
Uh-huh.
But her first match, she loses. Why? No idea, right? Uh-huh. It made no sense. Well, then they come out with the Robert Stone rebrand of her, right? So she wins. Then she's in the Royal Rumble and loses. Or does she fight Charlotte first and then lost? One of the two. But anyway, she came out. Oh, no. She actually came out and lost to Charlotte before she was even introduced to NXT, I think.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, that was a weird time. Anyways, I don't even know why I know this.
Okay, Chris.
Nothing personal, but I'm not like a Chelsea Green fanatic or anything. But then she loses the Royal Rumble. Then she comes out and wins on NXT TV, and then loses again. And there's another a multi-person match or something. And then there's another brand or relaunch. This one was called a relaunch. And then she goes out, loses the ladder match, and now it's a rebirth, right? Or a relaunch. That's what it was. This week was a relaunch.
Yeah.
Is that the gimmick? Every time she loses, they have to call it a relaunch or a rebrand?
Oh. Well.
It's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. Any losing gimmick, as I feel like we've discussed multiple times over the years, is not a good gimmick. But it does make her more entertaining and more... What's his name? Tyler Breezy. In that regard. Where it's kind of more about the look and the vibe and everything more. Although he was about winning. You know, he did win. I guess he won a lot in NXT. Not so much on the main roster. But I actually just saw a worthwhile small package that looked like they, between the Midnight Express and... the Southern Boys.
Oh, God. Tracy Smothers and... Who was the other guy? I forget. The Southern Boys?
Yeah, I forget. Smothers and someone else. It wasn't... I was about ready to say the other guy that Tracy Smothers teamed with, and it's both of the names are blanking right now.
I'm with you. I was trying to think of it too, and I got nothing. But no, yeah. The Chelsea Green stuff. Oh
yeah.
No, did you figure out who it was?
What about the Chelsea Green stuff?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going back to the
Southern. Any losing gimmick's terrible. That's the point that I was at. Like, and I don't have any person, because the only person that I can think about that is in question now, but is that an NXT thing where they're doing the, or is that a main roster thing that they're doing this, someone's lying? Oh, that's a main roster thing. Never mind.
I'm not following you. What are you
saying? Oh, there's the person in the hoodie at the bank of computer monitors that keeps on telling people truths. But that's a main roster thing, which I guess is kind of interesting and something at least slightly new for the main roster. But, because what other parts of... I guess I do like... for NXT, again, character development-wise, they're doing a little bit of something for the people in the Cruiserweight Classic, or whatever they're calling the Cruiserweight Tournament. Just by having them in a round-robin tournament, which is still feels weird for the WWE to be doing anything like that. Just because they're a one-and-done kind of tournament folk.
Well, this is a Triple H thing, and also, they gotta fill time.
Yeah.
So, you know, but no, the Chelsea Green thing, though, it's the one thing that really stood out, and it's just because, you know, she's not ugly. Did you notice how hard... they were trying to make sure they didn't show her butt. Every time it came, like, she's getting out of the pool, just cut away real quick. Because you could tell it was just one of those, like, you know, barely there ones or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it was just making me laugh. Like, okay, I mean, I understand, but it was just making me laugh, too. Like, oh, no, can't see a girl's ass or something, or covered, or slightly covered, whatever. But it is what it is. Especially when you have, like, Carmella wearing a bathing suit, basically, on TV half the time. Or Shawn Blackheart, which, I don't know, I've only seen her a handful of times.
Yeah.
But she's wearing a, like, whatever her ring outfit is, with, what is it, fishnet stockings?
Yeah.
And the fishnet stockings cover up enough until one of them rips and you realize most of her ass is hanging out. I was like, oh, she can't be happy right now. Like, or she is. I don't know. She's a pretty girl, so whatever.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about the ladies just because the vast majority of them are attractive at this juncture.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
They're definitely different. There are different qualities that people may like more or less.
They have taken women's wrestling, and this started in Shimmer, who never gets credit for this. And that's where this buffet, like your self-serve buffet of women's wrestling came from. They had all sorts of different looking women in there. And what do you want to call them? Skinny, thick, athletic, black, white, Chinese, whatever. They had something for everyone. And then, it's going to sound the way it sounds. And then the wrestling got better. And it's exactly what I've been complaining about or wanting for years. And it's a great way to get people to watch wrestling. You have beautiful women who wear outrageous outfits to make themselves still look good. And then they put out some badass wrestling matches. What more do you want?
I don't know.
So, that's a compliment. I mean, it's been great. So.
Yes, it has been.
I'm sure there's like Piper Nevin's not exactly what you call a small woman. But you know, there's a whole audience of people that are all about her. So, or Jordynne Grace. She's just like thick mama pump. That's like, can you imagine someone like, looks like Piper Niven working in WWE and being taken seriously the way she is? Like, 5 years ago, for that matter, you know?
Oh. Yeah. It was not going to happen 5 years ago. But it's definitely happening now. And I mean, that was one thing. I know that Chris and I didn't talk about it a lot, but was it all men that got released? Oh no, there were Deonna Purrazzo got released, and
Sarah Logan. Now there's rumors that she's being brought back. So and it, you've got the weird, and you got the weirdness of the Drake Maverick thing as well. But yeah, that's just, she and I talked about it. You and Chris probably talked about it too. The dirtiness of this, and it just keeps getting uglier too. Like, there's literally no reason to release anybody from their job right now. And I know, like, a business, like somebody in business will disagree, but it made no sense on the bottom line. Their money is actually better than it was anticipated. Like, they made more and are retaining more than was initially thought. And then all this shit with the X going on, which is just sounds like McMahon's going to get in trouble. Probably not, because he's buddies with the president. But, I mean, you read about all that, right?
Well, I did.
Andrew Luck's dad?
Yeah, I did see that Oliver Luck is suing him. I didn't really look into it that much because I don't really care. But what is it about?
Okay, so he fired him. He fired him. That's what he's saying. Because and he had to be fired with cause or something like that, right?
Uh-huh.
So Luck is saying that there's no justification for me being fired. And the only like cause would be if they were like lost money, this and this. They had a projected loss for the XFL of so many, like, hundreds of millions of dollars, right? Uh-huh. It turns out, one, that WWE was back. So there's a direct conflict of interest because it was not released to shareholders of WWE.
So that's
Security and Exchange Commission's problem. Well, then it turns out that the XFL only lost about $40 million. Now, I'm saying only. I understand what that means. But when you're projected to lose hundreds of millions of dollars and you lose 40, you can't fire someone for cause. You can't say that, well, they lost us money. No. You guys lost money, but he actually saved your ass's money. So.
Yeah, it sounds
McMahon
like.
McMahon in his old age. I mean, McMahon's never been what you call like a stand-up dude, I guess. But this looks really bad. Like, you're firing people during a time where you can't work. Especially when you don't have to. At first they were saying it was saving $4 million a month, which, okay, no. It's saving them $4 million. And then you just posted a profit, I believe, of $500 million.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to hear about how this is a cost-saving measure, because it's not. Yeah, just... and then you see here, and it's like, all right, just get the worst.
Yeah,
wait till it's over, and then release them. And especially because a lot of these people asked for their release months ago, and you said no. And now that they can't work, you're okay with getting rid of them? You're a motherfucker, man. There's no way around it.
Yeah, I mean, It's always one of those things that I guess because I'm at least in a somewhat similar position as the wrestlers themselves, that if they can seek unemployment, I say they take advantage of that, which Chris and I seem to figure out they should be able to. So they should be able to make some type of money in that department. It was really weird that Sarah Logan was released, since her husband had to do by far one of the worst segments that I saw on TV this week.
Okay, I think that was on purpose. I think they're going to be going against the Street Profits. One of them has to be a heel team. So what do? You make them look like giant nerds who dress like Vikings so that no one's going to like them. They will clearly cheer for the, oh my God,
Street Profits.
Yes.
I was just letting you struggle with that one for an extra second.
No, I was like, I just said who it was. I was sort of blanking out. But no, I think that was on purpose. I really do.
Oh, okay.
They're like, okay. They're like, okay, well, we got two face teams. But really, the Viking Raiders, are they really over? I mean, it sounds mean, I know. But you don't see, like, people going nuts for them.
No, I mean, even though they've been champions, and I don't think they've been mishandled in the way that some teams have, some talents have been. Like, I don't think they've been irreparably harmed, like the, most of the people released, honestly. But, yeah, they haven't really been handled well because they won the championships and then kind of disappeared. Or they just had to sit there because the tag team division isn't terribly deep. They kept on beating chumps after they won the championship instead of beating teams.
Yeah. And then they lost to Seth and Buddy Murphy, excuse me. It is Buddy. And then that's gone nowhere. Buddy Murphy is a nobody again. Sucks. I mean, the guy's extra talented, but no. They go back to, I don't want to get away from it, but to go back to the releases, now, there's some bullshit, man. And I understand what you're saying about they get unemployment. They shouldn't have to. One, the guys who want to release, if this is the case, released now, what's the difference? You didn't use them at all so that they couldn't make extra money or make new money or more money, and then now that they cannot make money, you let them all go? That's dirty shit. And I understand, I mean, situation, like, and you know, we know each other long enough. You know where I'm coming from in this. Your situation is different than theirs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and yes, when this is over, they'll be able to go out and work for this or work for this, whatever, right? Well, there's no guarantees of that first. So it's like, I wanted out so that I could be, you know, I could be wrestling and making more money. But you guys said no, and then go, all right, we don't need you anymore, and got rid of me. What the fuck? It's like, that's some dirty shit. Especially when no other company is doing that. No other wrestling company who, as we've all heard, don't compare to WWE financially. They're still paying their people, and they're not firing anybody.
Yeah. I mean, the W... And I guess maybe that's... Not that I have sympathy for the WWE, but... They had too many people on their roster, and probably still have too many people on their roster.
Yes. Yep.
Like, it's almost surprising how many times, especially when your new Universal Champion that hopefully is going to carry the brand, Mr. Drew McIntyre, literally had to leave the company to become a star. Like,
yeah.
it I guess it's still kind of surprising that it hasn't really dawned on the WWE that they, more times than not, they do a terrible job of creating stars. They just kind of, they know how better to launch them into superstardom than just being, than knowing how to make them stars.
Yeah. I mean, Shahid pointed out on We Watch Stuff, he's like, if you think about it, most of the guys that that became big, it was an accident. Like, he was like, the last one was probably Hulk Hogan. Or he mentioned somebody else, but I can't remember who that was. And the more you think about it, you're like, yeah. Everybody else was a mistake. I mean, look what they did with Rock at first. That was garbage. Triple H, he was the blue blood. And then he's like, listen, I got to change it up. Steve Austin was the ringmaster. Like, he, like, went into business for himself, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Like, all their stuff, it hasn't been their creation. It's been the wrestler doing something that caused that creation. So,
yeah.
This idea that WWE makes stars, I don't know about that. I don't know about that anymore.
It's a very limited pool. Like, because my go-to all the time is Charlotte, who hasn't been anywhere else. But the pool of people that have just been in the WWE that are, like, even some of the bigger names is quite limited. You know, because, I mean, even the Viking Raiders had to prove themselves in ROH, New Japan, you know, a number of places before even coming to the WWE. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, that's kind of who this started with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and look at what they did to them. They called them the Viking Experience. Like, what? Like, Viking was never part of their thing. They were just a war raider. They wore Viking gear. They wore, like, war gear. You know, old-timey, whatever period you want to call it. War gear. That was it. And then somebody goes, well, look at Vikings. Let's make them that. Like, what?
Well...
Like, what are you talking about?
I'm not really going to put the onus completely on them for that because... They're not the WWE did not force Sarah Logan and Ray Rowe to have a Viking style wedding.
That's personal.
But that's what I mean. Like,
that's one thing that has nothing to do with the other, though.
That's what I mean, though. Like they were probably asking for ideas. Well, War Raiders is kind of Viking-y or War Machine. You can kind of imply the Viking thing to start with if you want to. Like, and they definitely...
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. It was implied, yeah.
But I mean, I guess that's what I mean. Like, it's, to me, like, the Viking part isn't even completely the WWE's doing because War Machine was already doing it on their own.
Well, okay, they were dressing in a certain way, sure. But, all right, so...
The name is trash.
I'm trying to come up with a better example.
I'm never going to disagree with that. The name, when they came in with the Viking Experience, I'm like, oh, trust me, like, that was terrible. Like, I don't mind changing it to something that the WWE feels more palatable about and implies the Viking theme, since Ray Rowe... does seem very into that kind of stuff. And, like, if you're supposed to be bringing something of yourself to the table to help make your character better, that seems like as good as anything to bring to the table.
Well, is the whole is, Viking thing. I think it was... Which one's Eric and which one's Ivar now? I mean, another really stupid thing.
Eric is Ray Rowe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one, change their names, dumb. Because as soon as it happened, I was like, oh boy. But then he even said they found out when they got there. That's what they were doing. Like, there was no discussions on that. They're like, hey, you're getting called up, and you're called the Viking Experience. They're like, what? And then it was go time.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, they didn't have... I understand everything you're saying. They had no input on this.
Oh.
This was Vince seeing, like, oh, they're just like... They had a Viking wedding, and they did this, and now, oh, they're Vikings, pal. Like, what?
Oh. And, I guess I figured they had more to do with it than they have.
Oh, man, this is... WWE, all right, and this is... At first, you're like, all right, you read this stuff, you're like, okay. And now you just, you're experiencing it. But it's like, this is so out of touch that instead of just letting stuff go, man, I mean...
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, he...
But there's no one there now. Fuck. There's no one there now that can tell him, boss, this sucks. Because he'll get rid of you. And, oh, unless you ask to be getting rid of. And they're like, no, no. You gotta sit at home. So fucking stupid.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, no, and that's... But no, it's like going back to the layoff. No other wrestling company did. There aren't that many, and none of them make as much money, have as much capital, have as much name recognition, ground, any of that, than World Wrestling Entertainment. None of them. And every one of them is still paying their employees. Every one of them is still covering them. Well, they're actually employees for other companies, too, I believe. So WWE's still holding on to that dumbass independent contractor or whatever they call it. So they don't have to give them health care. But it's just, man, WWE's just doing dirty stuff. I'm sorry, WWE, led by their chairman, owner, founder, Vince McMahon, is doing some nasty shit. I mean, he already gave up on the XFL. It was never gangbusters, right? It was good. It started off all right, you know?
But yeah, it seems
now all of a sudden
it seems sustainable this time, honestly. Like
it did, didn't it?
But
he just got bored, I guess.
Well, that's one of those ones where, at least with that one, I don't understand firing someone. I guess I didn't realize until I saw that headline that he'd been fired and not just let go as part of the whole folding process.
Yeah. Well, it's a way to get out of paying him, I think, $100 million. If I read it right, he was going to be owed like $100 mil.
Holy smokes.
So he fight... Yes, it was some millions of dollars.
Yeah, I would maybe definitely fight for that.
It was still millions of dollars. And Vince goes, no, you're fired, so he doesn't have to pay him that.
Oh.
So basically, like, everyone's saying WWE is the big corporate machine, and this, yes, they are big business America, like everybody else is. But yeah, put on WrestleMania, they put on badass matches, and we all go, oh man, this is so good. Yeah, the matches are, and what they're doing good, yes. You're exactly right. But their business dealings are still shitty, and I haven't talked to Rashid since the last show because he's been working 12-hour days. But even he was even saying, he's like, man, it makes it hard to watch this stuff still. And I'm not exactly there with him, but he's not exactly wrong. I mean, I enjoy NXT because I'm the dummy that goes, well, this is Triple H's company. Is it? You know? But
it is definitely presented far different than the other shows.
Right.
Even if
it
isn't...
enjoyable message.
Yeah, I obviously, what's his name, does not... Triple H does not own NXT, but... I guess it makes me hopeful that whenever... Although, I did laugh when someone's like, Vince's mother is still alive at the age of 97. Vince has at least another 20 years in charge, or some joke like that. And I'm just like, oh boy, like I, you might not be wrong on this.
Yeah, and it isn't, honest to God, real fear. That this guy at... He's in his 70s now, isn't he?
Yes.
I believe so. Yeah. That this guy who could be approaching, you know... Now, I don't think his mom probably left a led a life like he did. Boy, this is a dark conversation. But, like, his mom probably didn't get into all the stuff he did. I don't know anything about this, so I could be totally wrong. But his mom didn't work, like, 21-hour days and drink all day. You know, to stay part of the system. That sort of thing, you know?
Right.
So maybe, I mean, there's that chance. No, that won't happen, that, you know, those genes, she's a tough lady. Where, and not to say Vince isn't, obviously, but to where this tough-ass lady doesn't have all that mileage on her, and maybe that's what's taking it. But to say it does carry over, we could be looking at him leading WWE at 90 years old. At the least, 90 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that. Now, if that's the case, I'm going to be 66 years old, I think. So, I may not even be watching it anymore. But, and I was going to ask you about this. I was actually going to text you this and that. But, so, are you watching, like, Monday Night Raw and all that stuff live?
Our new stupid cable system that we decided to buy into is not always doing a good job of recording shows currently.
Okay.
So I unfortunately have been watching more stuff live. I would prefer to, you know, record and then watch, especially right now when the level of not watching commercials, I mean, we kind of started talking about commercials, and we can probably close talking about commercials.
Well, Kevin, this is just part of your new normal.
Oh my God!
That's all.
Yeah.
In these trying and different times, you know what would be really nice is if State Farm refunded some of your money, because we're here for you at State Farm. You're welcome. It drives me fucking crazy.
Yes.
Cunts have just taken what is probably, like, honestly, the weirdest thing we're probably going to see, like, or at least let's hope this is the weirdest thing we're going to see, and they made it a marketing campaign. It's disgusting.
Everyone is
disgusting.
Everyone has made it a marketing campaign, and yeah, somehow,
yes,
commercials were terrible before, they're even worse now, which is impressive in a not good way.
It's possible either. No, it's revolting, but I know one of our close friends is in the marketing. That's his job, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, some of them can be as slimy as the WWE. That's for sure. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take this tragedy and we're going to make sure we turn that into money for us somehow. Wait, what? Yeah. Just terrible people. They're terrible people. Anyways, but yeah, speaking of terrible people, back to Vince. No, man, I could see, like, I have friends who are at work that work at the breweries here. Because, and a little inside thing, just because someone owns a brewery doesn't mean they make money. That doesn't mean that they're bad business people. That means that's how it goes. Like, just because you own a brewery and you put out good stuff and it's busy, you're not Budweiser. You're not Anheuser-Busch. You're not Miller. You're not Coors. You're not any of these big guys. You have small families who, you know, this is their entire life. So, but yeah, but it's like, where that was going was,
yeah,
like, the small breweries, my friends that are out of jobs right now, that's what had to happen. So,
oh yeah,
it sucks, but that's because they had to, and it was actually to the benefit of their employees. To where WWE was just like, now let's just get rid of these guys for no good, discernible reason at all. None.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the WWE had made that much. Yeah, like that was, I guess, the earnings thing I hadn't paid attention to. So the fact that they made that much money and only cut $4 million is pretty trashy.
Yes.
Like, I mean, so it was yeah. bad before, but I guess it's just worse now.
Just in case, consider it this. They had $500 million. They keep those guys. They have $496 million still. I know, like that, like million. The word millions or the dollar amount of millions gets tossed around a lot, especially because of sports, to where it doesn't sound like a lot anymore, which is obviously not the case, but it is a lot of money. So saying, well, they're saving $4 million. They have $496 million left. If you divide that by four, you get $100-something million. I was going to do the math real quick, but I bet. Oh, $128 million.
Yep. Yeah,
something like that.
Whatever. Yeah, that's 26, right.
27?
26.
Yeah. Anyways, so it's just dirty and. It needs to be called out more and more, but it won't be because, you know, it just won't.
Yeah, I mean, we can always find something else to report on.
yeah, I mean, there's still other wrestling out there. So
we go full. We watch stuff in OPA, and
I meant to ask you. This is what I asked you. About watching live, new normal. If we'll go with that. Do you understand how much time, like SmackDown moving to Friday? I don't have to watch it on Tuesday anymore. Raw being like, I don't like this empty arena stuff. At least AEW had the good idea of like having people in the audience, so it makes it a little bit better. But like, it's awkward as hell, and it's not enjoyable to watch. So I haven't really been watching Raw live. And I fast forward just to see what happens at the end to get the results, which I know I can watch online or read online. But if somebody says the match was good, I'll go back and watch. But that frees up 3 hours of TV on Monday when I can watch something else now. And I wonder with Raw's ratings just plummeting, they're going to be able to recover from their already lowering ratings. If more and more people go, hey, you know what? I don't really need to watch this anymore.
Yeah.
Does that audience come back? You know? That's going with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's kind of funny. I mean, people keep on asking that question, and it's kind of weird that the audience is going down that much currently, given the fact that ratings in general are up right now because people are home.
Yeah.
So it.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's kind of funny that they are having a hard time maintaining ratings at a time when it should not be hard to maintain ratings.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling is a live experience. Whether you're watching it live with an audience that's live, obviously. So when it's not, it's just like, this is goofy as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people probably see it that way.
Well, and that's why I guess I am a little bit surprised that they haven't done more of the... You know, the kind of the backstage skit kind of stuff. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
It's a real mystery to me. Like, especially the WWE. Like, they got praise. Most of their praise for WrestleMania came from the two matches that weren't conventional matches. But for whatever reason, they're still going conventional. And... You know, thinks outside of the box, guys. Like, you guys thought outside of the box and it was a success. Keep going down that road, guys. Like, it shouldn't be brain surgery. Like, it's always one of those things that it always just feels like the WWE is succeeding in spite of itself constantly.
Oh, of course. It's the old CM Punk stuff. Whereas, like, Vince McMahon's a millionaire that should be a billionaire. Well, he became a billionaire and lost it already. Like, he's back down to a regular millionaire. And that's, like, that's the problem with the guy on top. It's, he's done it his way for so long that he's not going to change. And Triple H even said, like, an actually interesting podcast to listen to, was Corey Graves and Triple H. I think it was on that one. It was in an interview.
Oh, after the bell.
Two. Yeah, there was an interview with Triple H. I'm going to give Corey Graves the credit, but I don't think it is. Triple H was telling Vince McMahon, Boneyard match. And Vince goes, what is that? He goes, is it a graveyard? He's like, no. He goes, yeah, it's a graveyard. He goes, so I explained the concept that Vince just clearly didn't get it. He goes, I don't care what it is, just make it good. That should tell you all you need to know. He had nothing to do with it. It was, I believe it was Triple H and Jeremy Borash. This was their baby.
Oh.
And look how it turned out.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it. It's the best match on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, they really could be in that whole, you know, and you've mentioned it more than most of us. Like, I mean, it is kind of the Lucha Underground style taping. I mean, I didn't really see it that much, but if it's stuff like that, and even really more like the skits that AEW is doing, you know, you lessen the contact between the wrestlers when you're doing stuff like that.
Absolutely.
No one cares. Like, I mean, I guess you can get spoilers, but Chris and I were thinking that there weren't a whole lot of spoilers that leaked about WrestleMania. Like, when you don't have a lot of people there to witness what you're taping, it's easier to hide what happened.
Right. And that's the thing, like, especially with the Boneyard match, the people involved, obviously, but it's The Undertaker and doing something special. And it's like there is that respect for him to where, you know, Triple H won't say anything, Borash isn't going to say it, Undertaker's not, and AJ Styles clearly isn't going to because there's a respect factor. And, you know, Gallows and Anderson, they're not going to talk, although I guess they could now if they wanted to, but past the point, obviously. But, yeah, it...
Yeah.
Quick, Lucha Underground is on Netflix, by the way. So if you ever want to go and watch, it's a timeless thing. So, but yeah, man, it all goes to the top, and the top's being led by a crummy human being, it looks like. Especially when all of a sudden they're an essential business after donating, is it $7 or $10 million to... what, Trump's re-election thing or something like that?
Oh, and well, sudden, I'm going to double down on what I said to Chris, is that Florida seems desperate for money for reasons that I am not completely clear on. But, they stayed open longer than everyone else. B, they're trying to open back up before everyone else. I'm not going to say that the WWE didn't help their own cause, but I'm also going to say that the state of Florida is kind of looking out for themselves in one way or another. And, I'm not going to completely put that in Vince McMahon's pocket.
Well, here's the thing. One, Florida is a tourist state. All of them, I mean, they don't even have a sales tax because of the tourism. So they need their, like, if I'm with you, they need to reopen all this stuff. But if WWE is essential business, no one's allowed to go in. So they're not bringing any money in. You know, there's no, I'm guessing that they're going to tax them, but for, like, you know, whatever fees, whatever. But they're not making, like, even at Full Sail, they don't make any money anyways. It's a free audience, I believe. So they're not making any money off of that.
So oh, the state of Florida. Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, no, what they're gonna no tra- from it. What they're essentially gonna do is try to get people. Well, since the WA, a lot of companies have moved there anyway. But B, yeah, they're trying to open up for things like, you know, who's a Meduzzi? His Major League Baseball has talked about doing just, you know, Florida game. You know, everyone's either at their spring training facility or their Arizona facility, you know, things of that nature. Like, Florida's definitely opening it up for other sports ventures to tape down there, which would bring some type of money into the state if these places need to, you know, bring people down there. You know, if Major League Baseball starts playing all their games there, or if the NHL, God forbid, since the ice is trash there during the winter, that the NHL play down south because of more lenient laws. Like, that, I think that Florida's looking at more than just the WWE as far as who is going to be essential moving forward. Like, yes, the WWE is, and I understand that they're not making any money, but they're kind of hoping companies come down there and spend money to even just to build or renovate of some nature a, you know, a complex so that they can record their own TV shows down there. Like, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they're angling for TV shows to record down there and try to get some of that glitz out of Hollywood. Since,
well, I think that's why Georgia's doing that. Georgia, they have a huge film industry in Georgia. Shit, look at any movie. It always has the peach at the end of the credits. That's where they're filming most of the stuff.
Well, there are a couple of TV shows that I watch that have Georgia stuff after it, too.
Yeah, that in Vancouver.
Oh.
Well, movies a lot for Georgia. But, like, even with Major League Baseball, the NHL, are they going to allow people to go? Like, that's, I guess you can tax a business, I guess, if they even are, to make money. But the real income comes from people coming in, people spending money around the place, like tickets at the concessions for that individual event, but then also for hotels and stuff around it. If you don't allow people to go, then I don't see the point.
And Well, Florida's rule was very vague. Like, it didn't just say the WWE is allowed to work. You know, and I guess that's why I feel like it's more than just the WWE that's in on this. Because it was like, you just aren't allowed to have a crowd there. So, I mean, Florida was already acknowledging the fact that there wasn't going to be a crowd there. And I didn't even think about that till right now. Might have saved us some hassle and arguing.
Yeah. But, like, what a weird environment, though, for sports. And I guess we should probably need to wrap up. But because they're thinking they're going to possibly have, I think it's the Coca-Cola 600 or Bank of America, whatever auto race here, right? But they're not going to, it's going to be spectators. So, what's the point? And then they're gonna have the Darlington race. This is all from today. It's all off the top of my head. So
okay.
They're gonna have the race from Darlington in South Carolina. Maybe there'll be spectators, maybe not. Again, what's the point? If no one's gonna watch your product, I guess they'll do it on TV, but they've shown that, like, stuff without audiences, like, well, I guess maybe they haven't shown it. But it's like, with no traditional audience to watch this thing, what's the point? Because there's no, I tried watching, all right, just go with it, all right? I tried watching the American Flag Football League. Yes, it's a real thing. I swear to God, it's real. And there was nobody in the crowd. First, it's flag football, so it's automatically stupid. Second, Michael Vick was one of the quarterbacks. So it was a replay of their very first game. No one's watching. Watching sports with no spectators is hell. The entire point of having this is to put it on for an audience of people and to make money off of it. If there's no audience, your income is going to be drastically less anyways. Because television ratings, I'm going to assume, won't be that big after the first week or two. So your ad revenue won't be the same unless you're able to sell the revenue for this amount no matter what. Which, what company would do that in these trying and difficult times under a new normal? I just want to get that in there again.
Well, I'm sure that they're... I guess that probably is the hope, is that it'll bring in... But the weird thing is most of the TV money's paid out already.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
You know, like, just because, like, the WWE obviously isn't a giant contract. Like, I don't know what ABC deal has for, like, just because I know that people are already freaking out about college football and things like that. You know, it does seem like there's going to be a lot of crowdless games, at least for the next year. Honestly. Like,
that's what it seems like, yeah.
So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, too, that most of the revenue comes in from the live crowd, but I guess they're going to be counting on people just watching in droves since people aren't at the game, which, yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched flag football. I was,
Don't.
I know that Ken and I talked about this, at least since we've been doing plenty of coronavirus coverage, that it would have been interesting that the Penguins and Blue Jackets were set to do an empty arena game. And I was kind of interested on how that was going to come out. Because there's always the, the good old hockey boy stuff. And then they swear like sailors. So
God, that'd be great.
Yeah. Like, they're going to have to be on a mute button almost constantly from those guys swearing. Because
there's no word they don't like using. So
yeah, because I told Ken, I didn't realize it until after Sidney Crosby came back from his concussion or neck problems or whatever exactly it was that held him out for a year and a half. Because you could see it live on TV. He says, fuck yeah, after every goal that he scores. And like,
that's the least of it, dude.
and that's it. That is my point. That's the least of it. Like,
I'll never forget, like, they had one of those mic'd up things ever. And one of the players told the other one, hey, you're on mic, so just watch what you say. He's like, oh, okay. And then later on, he was tussling with someone, and it was Sean Avery.
Uh-huh.
And he called the other guy a fucking slut. And I just went, that's the weirdest trash talk I've ever heard. Like, huh? What's that got to do with anything? So, I honestly think a great business plan would be mic these guys up and tell them, you're mic'd up, so you can say what you want, but just remember, people can hear you, and then sell it.
Oh.
Give me your Red Wings feed, your Lions feed, whatever, Steelers feed. And this week, you got it on Ben Roethlisberger. You're like, oh, never mind, go to somebody else. Or you go to, you know, just somebody else where you're like, holy God, this is fantastic. And obviously, it's got to be rated M17 or whatever, you know, X-rated, just in case.
Oh, right.
But,
yeah, you got to put all that warning label bullshit on.
Yeah. Unlike wrestling, where you can hear them like, come on, is that all you got? Like, at least Kevin Owens has some funny trash talk you can hear, but for the vast majority, they don't know what to say. And then I also like when you can hear, you can hear a spot get called, but did you watch the Being the Elite number 200, Matt versus Nick?
Oh, no.
It's worthwhile. It's fun. They are blatantly calling spots during the match. You can clearly hear them calling spots. And I'm like, are they doing this on purpose? So,
and then they kept on doing it, and you're like, yeah, they're doing it on purpose.
Oh, yeah. There was one, he's like, hey, stay, super kick, drop, don't drop, like that sort of stuff. They're clearly calling the action.
Oh.
Which, for someone like me, I really enjoy that. I really enjoy that, so, you know. But, all right, we better wrap up. Are you going 2 hours?
Just an hour and a half.
Okay. Oh, God, yeah, we better, then.
Beltime beer was Peach Basket from Land Grant. I have reviewed it on previous shows. It is a pretty nice summer beer. I'm not sure that peach is the best beer fruit that I've had, but it's pretty solid, and obviously is a reference to basketball. So there's that. But it's pretty decent. I like the other one that I got from Land Grant better, the Quadrahopic IPA. So, which is kind of funny. Yeah,
I'll take it off air for you.
The last time I talked to you, I said it in like IPAs that much, and I've forgotten that I've liked that series of IPAs quite a bit.
Every time you get away from IPAs, you always drag you back. So, you know, I'm far into sours right now, almost too much, which is almost all I have in the fridge. So I got to start changing my taste buds again.
Oh.
Alright, yeah.
At DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Granny. Yeah. Do the usual stuff. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever else. And I'm out of here.
Alright, guys, thanks for listening. You can whatever for Granny Maze. I don't have Twitter anymore. It's an auto post. Oh, yeah. Have fun. We're out of here.